And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, looking ahead to Monday's program, as the rate of COVID-19 infections has plummeted, so has the rate of vaccinations here in Maryland and across the country. Beth Benner of the Women's Housing Coalition joins me to talk about her organization's efforts to reach some of our most vulnerable people. And Dr. Gigi Granvall of the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security discusses what we know about the origins of the virus and what we've learned in this pandemic that will help us more effectively fight the next one. That's coming up Monday on Midday. And through the magic of radio, the music happens at just the right time. In fact, it is now time for another edition of Midday at the Movies with Maryland Film Festival founding director Jed Dietz. Our good friend Anne Hornaday is out of town and unable to join us. Jed, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Tom?
I'm fine. You know, as we say, I'm a mess, but I'm blessed, you know. And So let's talk real quick about the Maryland Film Festival, which has just finished up. Another virtual affair, or at least largely virtual affair, a couple of in-person events. How did it go? Were you all pleased with the response? What do you think?
Yeah, well, the mix was great, and I think actually underscored how great it's going to be to get back to an in-person film festival. And as Anne and I talked about on a previous show, we felt that about any of the festivals we've gone to in the last 12 months. For us, the big thing was the John Waters pick, which the festival team put together as a drive-in at Druid Hill Park. John, as I'm sure people know, has for every year of the Maryland Film Festival chosen a film that he loves. They're typically wild and crazy picks that can be very, very serious, very laughable, sometimes both at the same time. These were two films that were very much for drive-ins. One was called Why Don't You Just Die, which is a Russian film, a narrative about a revenge, a series of revenge occurrences that take place in an apartment. It's very bloody, again, almost laughably so at some times.
Is it even vaguely possible that a movie whose title is Why Don't You Just Die is a good movie? I mean, God bless John, but boy, I mean, it just seems like, you know, your chances of a good one with that title are kind of low. I don't know. What'd you think? I mean, it was gory and all, but of course.
It's not exactly my cup of tea. It's not the kind of movie genre, the sort of slasher film stuff. I don't know that much about it, but this was a very much sort of Russian Tarantino, and it was really fun. I mean, it's just completely over the top. John said that he used to go to sneak into drive-ins when he introduced the film. He said he used to sneak into drive-ins to, you know, and everybody would honk at the gory stuff, you know, Herschel Gordon Lewis or one of those kind of, you know, great, you know, B movie gore people. And he said, now these are art movies and we should be honking at the art. And sure enough, of the 100 cars or however many were there at Druid Hill Park, where there were some beautifully shot scenes, of which there were many, some of them quite gory, but also some of them just plain beautifully composed film scenes, people started honking their horns.
Right. So it was, well, John, you know, John just likes sneaking into places. I mean, I've seen John sneaking in through the window at Eddie's, you know, I mean, it's just, John just likes sneaking in rather than using the front door. So that's a good thing. But that tradition of his, recommending a movie every year is a terrific tradition of the film. Was this a double feature?
Yes, right? And the second one was another Russian movie, but a documentary. Apparently in Russia, all the vehicles on the road, or at least the commercial ones, I'm not sure. We had this movie at the Parkway, actually. It's called The Road Movie. And it's basically a compilation of 70 or 80 minutes of car wrecks as recorded by dash cameras, which must be in every car in Russia. Mm. And you think, how can this work as a movie? And it is just breathtaking to see some of the carnage that occurs and mistakes that occur along the road from the perspective of somebody's dash camera.
Well, you know, leave it to John to introduce right. those to the audience in Druid Hill Park, yes. where, you know, every Sunday you can see lots and lots of folks cleaning their cars and shining them up and, you know, detailing them. So it was the perfect place to see that kind of movie, I guess.
It was fantastic. And then some of the virtual things were just great. I mean, Theo Anthony's new movie called All Light Everywhere, which John McCone, who worked with you guys at WYPR.
Sure, she's a former producer on this program, right?
Yep, and she had some producing credit on that, and actually one of the shorts in the festival, too, that I'll mention in just a second. But it's opening theatrically now, Theo Anthony's movie, All Light Everywhere. And it's like his Rat film. It's a documentary, but done in a very... very specific way that Theo is developing, which is sort of a mix of philosophy and very serious thought about a local issue, a cultural issue, in this case, surveillance and cameras, body cams and surveillance from planes, mm-hmm. Et cetera, combined with scenes that in this case are, you know, in factories or in local communities. There's a training session in the Baltimore Police Department about the body cams. It's a fascinating way to make a movie. And also, just to mention another local person involved, Dan Deacon did the score. He also scored a movie at the festival called Strawberry Mansion, and they're beautiful scores.
Got a lot of buzz for that. Okay, well, I do want to move on to some movies that are out there, but I'm glad that the film festival went well. Folks I talked to, you know, who were involved said, they were very, very pleased with it. So that's terrific news. Now, you have ventured out into a few movie theaters.
I have.
What did you find, and what are you hearing throughout the industry about movie theaters? And by the way, listeners, if you have ventured out to a movie theater yourself, let us know. 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org. You can tweet us @midday WYPR. We'd love to hear what your experience has been in movie theaters, or whether or not you're sticking with streaming for a while. But Jed, what's your take, both, you know, from what, again, as I said, what you know from the industry writ large and your own personal experience?
Yeah, we're very much, the industry's in experimental mode right now, but it is fascinating. Memorial Day weekend is the traditional beginning of the summer movie going season, which is really the core movie going period every year. And this year, led by Quiet Place 2, which is in the movie theaters for 45 days before it goes on streaming, and Cruella, which is a Disney movie and is playing along with being available on Disney Plus for an extra fee. The top 10 films in America this Memorial Day in 2021 generated a little over $96 million in box office. Last year, to give you a comparison, in 2020, they generated $240,000. So, I mean, it was a huge explosion that has happened very rapidly. And you can see the studios already. I mean, it's almost changing daily now, planning to bring things out, get them scheduled in the next few months, hoping that they'll catch the growing audience as people get vaccinated.
We should mention also that Quiet Place 2 is playing at the Senator Theater here in Baltimore, as well as a number of theaters in the suburbs.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to see it on a great screen. It's you know, Quiet Place 1 was this incredible hit from John Krasinski with his wife Emily Blunt in the lead role, and really came out of a surprise, was hard to get made, and, you know, had a very tiny little budget. And it's this really amazing concept for a horror sort of mystery movie. And Quiet Place 2, he resisted making a sequel. Emily Blunt is in it as one of the leads, but the the young actress who plays their daughter is really the story sort of focuses more on the kids and especially her. And it's not as a sequel, it's really done super well. And it's really fun seeing it in the movie theater. And it was crowded when I saw it, and seeing it with an audience that reacted to the surprises and that kind of stuff was really fun to see it.
Yeah, the other, just like old times.
Man. Yeah. And the other one I saw was at the Charles. It's a documentary, completely different kind of movie, a documentary about called Final Account. And it's about the surviving Nazis that as young Germans joined Hitler youth camps. And there's a whole sequence of archival footage, which was just unbelievable to see. And you see sort of the buildup of bringing young people into the whole nationalist socialist Nazi movement, which was more than I knew, was the care of it and the entertainment value and the way kids were brought in. And then this movie also has contemporaneous interviews of these people now in their very late 80s and 90s, looking back on the period of World War II and the Holocaust. And it's an amazing movie to see because it's just straight out documentary in the sense that it's archival footage and interviews. But the historic event, of course, that it's chronicling is an amazing, horrible part of our history, and it really underscores the ability to rationalize moments of history, and it's a really important and really good movie, fascinating movie.
Jed Dietz is the founding director of the Maryland Film Festival. Excuse me, and I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Midday while I perish from consumption, evidently. We have an email from Ricky in Baltimore who says, my girlfriend and I saw A Quiet Place 2 at the Senator last weekend. Our first experience in a theater since the pandemic. It definitely felt a little weird at first, but I kept reminding myself, I am vaccinated. Most of these people here are probably vaccinated too, so I'm pretty safe here. So he says, so glad that we saw it on the big screen. If you have seen a movie on the big or the small screen that you want to recommend, 410-662-8780, our email, midday@wypr.org. Jed, there's a movie that is streaming on Hulu called Plan B.
Yes.
Heard a little bit about that. That's one that's not in theaters currently, but you've had a chance to check that one out. What did you think?
Yeah, it's about the fashion designer Halston, who I knew very little about. I mean, I certainly knew his name. I, you know, grew up in the era in which he was at peak fame in the couture world. But this is a narrative, so fictional. Ewan McGregor plays him and does an incredible job, I thought. It's a four-part series, and you really see, you know, this story of this young guy born in Iowa, sort of a misfit in town, coming into New York through a milliner shop that he started. He most famously first made the pillbox hat that Jackie Kennedy wore at the inauguration. And then through his pure art and drive, comes up with a whole new couture for women. And then
Hold on for one second. I want to remind folks, Jed is talking about a movie called Halston. I actually asked you about a movie called Plan B.
Tom.
You launched into Halston, so we'll stick with Halston right now. It's interesting. Sometimes, you know, you ask politicians questions, and they just answer a completely different question. And you've done the same thing, so I don't know what you're running for, but, you know, whatever it is, I'm not sure you're picking up any votes. But, okay, back to Halston. This is
okay,
it's Halston.
And then
it's
I go
about,
to Plan B, which I also love very much.
Yeah, okay.
So I was really about to finish with Halston. Thank you for rebooting it, making sure everybody knew what the movie was about. And it tells this life story, which is a real arc. And it's a very fascinating arc. I think even if you're not particularly interested in fashion, you'll be very interested in the movie. He was a real cultural force and very, very well done.
Let's listen to a clip. While we're on Halston, let's listen to a clip. This is available for you on Netflix. Here's a little bit from Halston.
What we need is to figure out your signature. What's gonna make me see some gorgeous woman and say, that's a Halston?
My wife, she thinks you're a genius. I think that's a dangerous word. I think what you call yourself a genius, you stop growing.
Halston for your day. Halston for your everyday. Halston for your world.
Mom, I know you. The one thing you don't know how to do is stop.
The one thing you don't know how to do is stop. I don't know. That seems like a weird writer's room to me. I mean, I don't know. That's just my own personal opinion. I have not seen the movie, but it sounds kind of interesting. Again, that's on Netflix. We just got a couple minutes left, Jed. So let's now go to Plan B. Again, this is available on Hulu.
So this is a wonderful movie by a first-time director, Natalie Morales, about two girls who, all fiction, but who are in South Dakota. One of them gets pregnant, and they go off looking for a way to end the pregnancy. And it's beautifully written. It's funny. It's also very insightful and has great emotional core to it. So it's a little bit in the super bad 40-year-old version kind of movie, but also with a great deal of heart and emotion. It's a terrific movie.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about Plan B, and it sounds like there's some interesting stuff in it. So in our last minute here, Jed, yes. It's interesting that some of the big studios are choosing theatrical only, some are doing joint theatrical and streaming, some are only doing streaming. What goes behind those calculations?
Well, money, of course, is what they're trying to do, is to figure out how to optimize the funds. I will tell you that in the trailers that ran before Quiet Place 2, both John Krasinski, the director, writer and director of Quiet Place 2, and Salma Hayek, who's in a movie called The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, that's one of the big studio movies coming up, Samuel L. Jackson, Morgan Freeman. Both made specific films urging people to go to movie theaters to see them. So there's a real campaign, I think, from the film community to not lose the movie theater going experience. But so Disney will, which has got Cruella in movie theaters and doing very well, but also has done very well by reports. I don't think Disney's put out the numbers, but about 700,000 households have purchased Cruella for home viewing, which is a $30 purchase. The next one, Disney is going to do that way. And then I think by September, some of their big movies, they're going to start giving windows to, like Quiet Place 2 has gotten from Paramount, where they get a 30 or 45 day window in a movie theater before they stream. So I think, you know, people are really trying to figure out what this new world is.
We got a comment from a listener as we finish up here who wants to put a shout out to Benji's Drive-In. He says it's a great place to see Quiet Place 2. They deserve some credit for making movies accessible to people during the pandemic. So from John Waters and his drive-in movie to Benji's and their constant drive-in movies, we appreciate it all. Jed Dietz is the founding director of the Maryland Film Festival. He's one of the driving forces behind the restoration of the beautiful historic Parkway Theater. Thanks, Jed. Appreciate it. And
thanks,
have a good weekend.
You bet.
And
you
coming
too.
Up. Thanks. Coming up after a quick break, theater critic J. Wynn Russick will review a new streaming production from the Everyman Theater. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.